And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, St. John, chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 18. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 750. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We read these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he is before me.' For the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Awesome words, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to each of our hearts through our speaker this morning. God bless you, Pastor Lee.
Thank you, Matt and Lori, for a wonderful song this morning. This is Heaven's Child. And today, that's kind of what we're going to be speaking about. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the Word. Now, often when we think of the Word, we think of the Bible, but that's not what we're referring to today. We're referring to the very Word of God that was translated into the body of Jesus Christ, and how His purpose in coming was to communicate the love of God, the power of God, the authority of God to each and every one of us. To be the sacrifice that would be strong enough and powerful enough to take away your sins and my sins, and in fact the sins of anyone who would be willing to come to Him and would receive Him as Lord and Savior. In this first chapter of the Gospel of John, although not a traditional quote-unquote Christmas story, the Christmas and Easter stories are combined in a kind of a unique way. And there are some declarations here that are vital and valuable and very, very important for each and every one of us to understand. And I want to share with you this morning five of these things. I want to share with you that He is eternal, that He is Creator, that He is salvation, that He is example, and that He is supreme. So let's begin to look at these elements as they are presented in this particular passage of Scripture. First of all, the idea that He is eternal. You'll notice in verses 1 and 2 that John writes this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now you see, folks, in our minds, this is a very difficult thing for us to wrap our minds around, that God is eternal, that he has always existed, and that he always will exist. Because, you know, we have, in our lives, we have a beginning, don't we? We do. We have a beginning. And in fact, in our lives, we have many beginnings. We have the beginning of when we were conceived within our mother's wombs. We have a new beginning when we are born into this physical life. We have a new beginning when after we have been raised and we move out of our parents' home. We have a new beginning of where there is great responsibility placed upon us. We have a new start, a fresh idea, when we get married. And fellas, we determine that we're going to listen to that woman that God has blessed us with. That's a brand new thing. And hopefully we learn quicker than I did. But you see, there are those things in life. There is a newness when that first child comes along. And we realize the tremendous responsibility. But then there are other types of newnesses with us too. New beginnings. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we get that born-again experience, our life begins anew, begins afresh, and we have a different concept of what life is. And so you see, we have a life that has a lot of beginnings to it. But when you consider the eternal God and you stop to try to wrap your head around the fact that he has always existed, that's just incredible. I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot wrap my mind around that. And if you can, yippee for you. But it's just a very, very difficult thing for us to fully understand. But you know what? That's what's incredible about faith. We can believe that God has always existed, even if we don't understand how that can be possible. But we can believe. And you know what? In this Gospel of John, chapter 1, that's exactly, in these two verses, exactly what we are being asked to do. We are being asked to believe that Jesus Christ is the Word. We are being asked to believe that Jesus Christ has always been. We are being asked to believe that he was involved in creation as we know creation. We are being asked to believe the fact that he is the person of salvation. You see, we are being asked to place our faith in Jesus Christ, that he is God, and that he will always be God. Do you remember the first time in your life when you began to have a God consciousness, but you didn't really understand it? You know, coming from a non-Christian home, where the only time I'd ever heard the name of God used, it was always followed by a last name that really isn't God's name. But that was all that I had ever heard. And I remember laying out in our front yard. And I don't know, I must have been maybe 6 years old, maybe 7 years old. And I can remember laying there on the ground, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but just lay on the ground, stare up at the sky, and you see the clouds moving, and it's as though you can feel the earth rotating. Have you ever done that? I mean, you just focus on that sky, and it's like things are moving. And I can remember there, in that kind of a situation, it was a very warm day, bright sunny day, although there were those big fluffy clouds that were going by, and just being in awe even at that young age, and literally laying there saying, man, this couldn't have just happened. There must be a God. That spoke to me so clearly, although I had no idea. That was that internal recognition of God that God creates all people with. Read Romans chapter 1. And you will find that God has made his existence aware to everyone that he creates. And that we literally have to suppress the truth that he exists, although we'll be held accountable for it. Read Romans chapter 1. For they are without excuse, those who suppress the truth of God in their hearts. But I can remember laying there, and it was like a spark of faith. There must be a God. Well, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You see, God in all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God in all three persons, that Godhead has always been and always will be, is fully authoritative, is all-powerful, is all-knowing. And God is asking us to acknowledge that. Folks, Jesus Christ is God. He has always been, always will be. At Christmas time, we look at that innocent little child that Matt and Lori sang so beautifully about a few minutes ago. And there is a, you know, kind of a warmth that comes over us when we consider that innocent little child, because let's face it, many of us have had that experience where there was an innocent little child entrusted to us. And how Joseph and Mary must have just been in awe of being chosen by the Father to carry the Son into this world. The Bible gives to us and relates to us the truth that that little baby is God. And he proves it throughout his 33-year span of time on this earth. He proves it through the declarations of the Word of God that we receive by faith. And he will prove it when he splits open the sky and comes again. You see, that first appearance of the Word is not the final word. Jesus is coming back. And when he does, all of our faith will be made truth in his presence. I look forward to the time when Jesus comes to gather us all into his presence. The Word is eternal. He has always been. He was in the beginning with God. He will always be. Secondly, I want you to notice that He is Creator. Look at verses 3 through 5. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You see, He is Creator. He was every bit as involved in creation as the Father. The Spirit is every bit as involved in creation as the Father and the Son. God cannot be divided in creative power and creative authority. And that's one of the things that John is trying to make us understand here. Everything that we know in life exists because the Word was a part of the declarative process that God used when He said, "Let there be," and there was. Jesus Christ was every bit as involved in the creation of man when the Father looked at the Son and looked at the Spirit and said, "Let us create man in our own image," in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. As you begin to look at that whole idea, you begin to understand the Son was every bit as involved in creation as the Father, because He is eternal. He has always been. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus also said, "I and my Father are one." He is Creator. He isn't just Savior. He is Creator. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. He is the Creator of this physical universe and all of them. He is as well the Creator of life. As we live and breathe, it is because of Him. Physically, we live because of Him. Spiritually, we are given life because of Him. What an incredible Savior. What an incredible God. Third thing I want you to note is that He is salvation. Look at verses 12 and 13. "But as many as received Him," Jesus, the Word, "but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus Christ is salvation. The will of God was so perfectly carried out by Him that salvation has been freely offered to you and I. You remember Jesus has sat at the table with the disciples. They have eaten. He institutes communion. In the institution of communion, when that ceremony, that service is all done, they go to the garden. Out in the midst of the creation, what He had declared to be, and it became. He walks into the garden. The picture is generally that He kneels at this rock. You've seen the picture. I've seen the picture. Did He kneel at a rock? I don't know. It's a nice picture, though. He kneels at the rock. He spends some time in prayer. He submits himself to the will of his Father. He submits himself to the plan. And he says, "Oh Father, if there's some other way, let this cup pass from me." And then he declares it, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Submission to the will of the Father. Through that act of submission, that determination, the cross experience takes place. Because of the cross experience that takes place, the grave experience happens. Because of the grave experience, the authority of the resurrection happens. Had it not been for the kneeling at the stone, there may never have been the resurrection. Had it not been for the submission in prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done," there may have been no need for the resurrection. Had there not been for the cross, there wouldn't have been a need for a resurrection. Had it not been for the grave, there would have been no need for the resurrection. But because of that moment of submission, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done," the resurrection happened. Because of that resurrection, you and I have the opportunity of life. As many as will believe on Him. Did you catch that as it was brought out in that 12th verse? "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God." I love that idea of God giving the right to become one of His children. God gives that right because His Son carried out the plan completely, faithfully, and obediently. And folks, I want to submit to you that that's what Christmas is about. It's not just the cuddly baby. It's the cruel cross. It's not just the crying child, but it's the repentant person who gets the privilege of being a child of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. We need to always remember that. Number four, we see that He is example. Look at verse 14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, there is example. There it is. He became flesh and He dwelt among us. He walked the streets that we walk. He rubbed elbows with the folks that we rub elbows with. And yet He did it truthfully, honestly. He did it in a fashion where He was totally submitted to His Father's will. He lived this life in truth. He lived this life in glory. And because of the example that he set, he points us to his Father. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. He gives us the privilege of crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. He gives us the privilege of intimacy with his Father through his glorious example. He walked faithfully among men. He was tempted, according to the Scriptures, in every manner that you and I are tempted, and yet he did it without sin. That is example. He dwelt among us and did it with such glory, and as we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth, he gave us example. It's not just the baby in the cradle. It's the Christ who walked the streets. It's the Christ who dissected the word of the Father. The Christ who sat on the hillside and preached the amazing truths of God in a way that people could understand it. The Christ who laid out the pattern for you and I to live by. And then he lived it. And he set the example. And he let us know we can do it too. Folks, don't ever let man tell you you are what you are and that's all what you are. The Popeye philosophy is wrong. You believe God. You trust him. You walk in faithful obedience to him because he set the example. And in that faithful obedience, you as well will be blessed and will reflect the glory of the Father just like the Son did. And so when the world beholds you, they'll see Jesus. We need to reflect the grace and the glory of God in this sin-wrecked world. Be faithful. Then last, I want you to notice that he is supreme. Look at verses 15 and 16. John the Baptist bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Now, if you go back and you look at the Christmas story, you will find out that John's mom, Elizabeth, was pregnant with John 6 months before Mary becomes with child, which would make John older than Jesus. And if you do the math, about a half a year older. All right? And yet, what does John say here, John the Baptist, as he's speaking? He says, look, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And so what is John the Baptist saying? He is eternal. He has always existed. He has always been there. You know what the higher rank is than John has? It is the fact that he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so John the Baptist is just confirming that. And so John the Revelator, John the disciple whom Jesus loved, is putting this together for us, and he's saying, look, this is what it's all about. Jesus is supreme. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the God over all of creation. He is the God of life. He is the God of love. He is the God of purity. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus is supreme. Look at verse 16. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Because of the supremacy of Christ, we receive grace. Because He has the authority. Folks, it's wonderful to celebrate the manger scene. But in our celebration of the manger, let's not forget the cross. In our celebration of the cross, let's not forget the resurrection. And in the celebration of the resurrection, let's not forget the glorious promise of the return. Because that's what Christmas is all about. It's not about Santa. It's about a Savior. A Savior who has gloriously won the victory for you and I. He is life. And apart from Him, we are dead. With Him, we are people of promise and people of hope. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals and open up to number 170. We're going to sing about the Word. This morning, as is always the case, I want you to know the altar's open. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd love to introduce you. But right now, we're just going to sing one day. And let's look forward to the one day when we'll all be in the presence of the Father around the throne, worshiping Him.